The song told us that we should use our tongues to spread the gospel. Another song was telling us that, let my lips sing your praise. My burden tonight is heavy. I'm thinking about precious souls tonight that may be in trouble in their souls, and it's because of the way that we use our tongues. I've been thinking a lot about it and felt that the Lord gave me this back at home and told me to bring this little burden here. So I desire your prayers that I would obey the Lord and that His Word would be what makes us free tonight. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus spoke in chapter 7. We all have heard the first verse of chapter 7 a lot. He said, judge not that ye be not judged. But he also goes down in verse 16, and he talks about judging people by their fruits. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Then he goes on in Matthew chapter 12. And he speaks again about fruit in verse 33. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's by these scriptures, it's evident that it's not enough to say, well, I'm just going to control my tongue better. I'm just going to quit speaking this way to my family. I'm going to quit saying these words that I shouldn't speak. I'm going to quit gossiping. It's not enough to just make a decision, well, I'm going to control my mouth. Because he's talking here about the inside of a person. He's talking about the abundance of the heart. That's where the words that hurt, or the words that divide, or the words that scorn or belittle, that's where those words come from. Those words that injure and tear down people. Those words that really would destroy souls. Did you know tonight there are people who are not saved tonight because of words that someone has spoken to them? There are people tonight that are out there lost because they gave up the fight trying to forgive. And I know ultimately it's their personal responsibility to forgive hurts and offenses from others. But Jesus said, woe unto that person by whom those offenses has come. Another place I think about where Christian liberty is talked about in the scriptures, and he says something about, shall you destroy your brother for whom Christ died? And I think how serious it is that by our actions and our words and our deeds, we can actually destroy people. I think in the book of Proverbs it talks about that there is death and life in the power of the tongue. So it's a very serious subject and a very solemn burden that I have on my heart tonight, that of all the people in the world, people who profess holiness and salvation, should have our tongue sanctified unto the Lord, and that there would not be things that come out of our mouths that dishonor our Lord Jesus and hurt and injure other people. So I'd like to just speak to those abundant hearts this evening. What comes out of the mouth that said comes from the abundance of the heart. I think of a heart this evening that is bitter. People are bitter tonight, and bitter things come out of their mouths. Every once in a while, you'll hear someone who surprises you by the depth of bitterness that's in their voice. It may not be just the words, but it's the tone. Bitterness is something felt more than there's sometimes then just definite words that come out that are bitter. They're speaking of much pain down in the heart that is allowed to rankle there. There's a scripture that says that the fool, anger rests in the bosom of fools. There's a thought in the scripture about a root of bitterness. Something like being down inside of a person, growing down deep, and then out of that, we talked about trees in our lesson tonight, out of that, the fruit that comes out of bitter roots is going to be bitter. It's going to have, words are going to have barbs to them. This evening, we need to look down in our hearts and think, where are these bitter words coming from? What is in the deeps of me that is so angry and so sore and so full of gall and discontent and people are resentful of the things that have happened to them in life. They had expectations that have been hurt and injured. They themselves maybe have been hurt and injured by other people. Many times we don't realize it because it happened when we were little. It happened when we were young. It happened when we were children. Someone wounded us, and we grew up under harshness and criticism. And to us, it was normal. That was life to us. But we grew up with bitter roots in us because of that harshness and that criticism. I've looked at precious people before and young people, and I've wondered, where did the anger come from? And I know it's complex. The heart is very complex. But I'm thankful that Jesus knows. And the Lord can send His Spirit into our hearts, into the kingdoms of our hearts, the things that lurk away behind walls. We heard about those things in this meeting. We've heard about our hearts being as the land of Canaan, where there are giants and there's walled cities. And I think about how that we sometimes present to people, you come and you receive the Holy Spirit, and all of those foes are going to disappear. I think that we need to balance that thought out with the real, the scriptures in the land of Canaan that have to do with our spiritual life. In one place it said that I'll drive them out little by little. And there's places, there are kingdoms back in your heart tonight that are walled up and still there. And sanctification is when you say to the Holy Spirit, you can take my life and deal with me. You give Him permission to go into your heart and deal with everything in your heart. Everything is opened up before Him. You have no reservations left. Your will is completely yielded to Him. That's what it means. And then He begins a lifetime work of ridding you of the foes that come against you in your life that keep you from victory. And it may take the Lord a long time to show you this kingdom and that kingdom. I really believe this is real life. This is what happens to people, is that they wall up places in their life and they're ruled by this thought and this misconception and these words that were said and this unforgiveness and bitterness against this person. And those things many times hide in a heart. It's easy for us to look good on the outside. It's really, that's the easiest part. I mean, some people think that's really, really difficult. But I'll tell you what's really the hardest part, I think, and that is controlling this tongue and dealing with the things that come from the heart that make the tongue say the bitter and hurtful things that it says to others. Tonight, my heart is really burdened for families. I've had a burden for a long time. The Lord gave me a message some months back. Fight for your family. I believe that we need to fight the devil tonight in this way, that we don't keep injuring and re-injuring our little ones, our brothers and sisters, our spouses, our friends, the sisters and brothers in the congregations. But it's going to take a deep look in the heart, because that's where these things begin. There are people, there are children growing. You think, oh, holiness people won't have any of that. I've been amazed. I've been amazed at the harshness and the critical spirits that I have seen among so-called holiness people. And my heart is burdened that we come to the Lord with contrition tonight and repentance, real repentance, and come to Him and acknowledge. And then, because it's our tongue and because it's people that we have hurt with our tongue, we've got more to do after the repentance. We've got some words. He said in, well, I'm going to read that last, but we've got some things we've got to go and fix up with our brother and our sister, with our spouses, with our children. I think about our children. They're given to us. Little, they're innocent, yes, but they're little human natures and they're little carnal natures, and they're going to have personalities. And there's sometimes that people have children that they resent. They resent the child even being formed in the womb. It was unexpected. I didn't want it. It wasn't the right time in my life. I had other plans. Or maybe it was a girl and I wanted it to be a boy. Or the other way, it was a boy and I wanted it to be a girl. I'm talking real life tonight. I'm talking about you and me tonight, and things that are in the heart that many times get expressed in language and in words that we say to our families that hurt and injure. And those children never really know why. They just grow up. They grow up feeling, I'm not wanted. I'm not, no one loves me. I don't fit here. And this is a burden to me tonight, that we profess holiness and we cry after God. And I've seen people, I thought, Lord, this person loves you. I know this person loves you. But how can they injure and hurt other people? And the Lord's helped me to see it lies so deep in the heart sometimes that we don't know that we're hurting. I know that when Jesus talked to His disciples about a persecuting spirit that they would meet, He said, there are people who harm you that are going to think that they're doing God's service. And many times we don't know that the way that I'm dealing with this child is hurting this child. The way that I'm presenting the gospel to this person, I'm not connecting with them, and it really, they're feeling a stiff, or they're feeling a push away. just by the very thing, and I'm trying to help them. Many times we think, well, they need to know. They need to know this truth. They need to know what's wrong with them. And I'm the one to tell them. You know, we need to really pray that one through. We need to know for sure that these are the things the Lord wants me to say. And then, Lord, make it so easy for them to accept. Lord, if it's your time, work it out. If we don't really pray it through, we're really not going to help. And I think about, what is the point? What is the point of teaching someone what we feel like they need to know? Is our point, I want them to know what is right, or is our point, I want to help them? You see the difference? There's a difference in just telling your children what's right and helping them. There are words that come out of lives that are filled with pride and superiority. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus talked about people like that. In verse 9, he said, he spoke a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. There are things that we can say in our testimonies. Have you ever been prayed at? I've been prayed at. We can pray at people. And to me, that's just the worst thing we can do, is we're supposed to be praying to the Lord, and instead we pray at people, trying to get them to see their need. And those words that we're praying are only hurting, and they're not really to the Lord at all. Many times we can pray or testify or speak to others out of such a spirit of self-righteousness that we can't see it, but others see it and others feel it. It can divide. Spouses can speak to each other in this way. Sometimes a woman gets to thinking, I am so much more spiritual than my husband. And I want to tell you something, there's real danger in dealing with your husband like that. You can make him not able to take his place in the home as a leader of the home, as the head of the home, because you project yourself as so spiritual that he needs to listen to you. You ever see a man walking around all hunched over and just kind of following his wife? That shouldn't be. A man should be able to stand tall as the leader of his home. And she is to be in submission to him. Have you ever seen a wife that walked around like this? And everything that he said, that's how it had to go. And there was no consideration. There was no gentleness. There was no true servant leadership. He never treated her as Christ loved the church, but he still expected her to submit as the church submits to Christ. Many times we as religious people get into these things and we think we're right. We think this is the way it ought to be, but people are hurting. Wives are hurting. Husbands are hurting. Husbands are, their manhood is stripped off of them because of the ways that we women can deal with them. In-laws. I've wondered sometimes how do I want, if I were in this young lady's place that's marrying into my family, how would I want to be treated? How did I want to be treated? Or maybe there's longings that I had that weren't ever fulfilled, and I think, you know, when I have a daughter-in-law, this is how I'm going to act toward her. And I remember thinking things like that. I had a dear mother-in-law, by the way, and we didn't have problems. But she wasn't saved some of the time, so there were times that I longed for more. I'll just say it like that, and you can understand that. I remember a time, though, speaking from the daughter-in-law side. My husband's mother had come to our home, and she had just gotten saved. She had been unsaved for most of our married life up to that point. And it was mental issues and emotional issues and issues from when she was raised by very harsh and critical religious people. But she finally found freedom, and she was happy as a little bird. And she came to me one day on a Wednesday, I believe it was, and she said, "Let's clean the house and then let's go shopping." So I said, "Okay." And she said, "I'll clean your bathroom." And so she went in and she did the tub and the sink and all that. And I said, "Mother, I'll take care of the floor," because I didn't want her having to get down on the floor. And so I went in there and I took that dark green rug and I took it outside and I started to shake it. And it was covered with her white hair. And I had this little wrinkle, little awful thought in my mind. Then I thought, my mama is so neat, she always picks up her own hairs. And I was just kind of thinking, And all of a sudden there was a thought to say something. Can't you just clean your own hairs up when you come? I mean, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And He took those words out of my mind and my heart. And He gave me a love for dear mother. And I went in and I put my arm around her and I kissed that soft cheek. And I said, "We're just about done. Let's finish up and go shopping." So we went shopping. And she tried on an outfit and we bought it. And we had a wonderful time together. We came home. We ate together. She called her friends in Guthrie. We sang together as a family, and she said goodnight. And no one got up that night to go kiss her. And we just all kind of sat there, and Mother went to bed. That was the last time we saw her alive. She dropped over the next morning in our hall, and she was gone. The Lord came and got her, and that was the last kiss anyone ever gave her. I was so thankful. Lord, You did not let me say those awful words. How petty that thought was. And it could have been with me the rest of my life in turmoil and anguish that I had injured that sweet lady. We never know when will be the last time we see our loved ones. It is such a burden on me for the things that people are going through tonight. Children that are being wounded because of the things said to them. Lord, have mercy upon us when we correct our children. I know that I didn't know I had an anger problem. It was one of those kingdoms that lurked back in the back of my condition until I had children, and then I had to deal with something, and I fought with that thing and I fought with it, and I'll have to acknowledge to you, it came time where the minister said, "We want to ordain you," and I called Brother Ed and I said, "Brother Ed, I believe I have a clearance on that except for one thing. And I feel like that I deal too harshly with my children. And I've got to get victory over that." And I began to cry. Anytime I got into the car and was alone or at any time, I began to seek the Lord and seek Him and seek Him. Lord, this has got to go. The way that I'm dealing with them is not, I know it's not the way you would have me to deal with them. And saints, the Lord came and delivered me and helped me. And I believe I can say that from that time on, He gave me victory. I'm sure I've had some more failings. But the Lord broke something. The Lord changed something in me. And He can do that for you. I don't want anyone to feel crushed here tonight. As a parent, I know you get a little child screaming at you and right in your face, and it's going to take something in the depths of your heart to know how to react to that in a way that's gentle and Christ-like. So I know that these things are difficult, but we have little souls under our control. We can twist their minds. We can influence them. We can set them angry against God from the very start because we're religious, but we're being harsh. And that's a bad combination. That's a real bad combination. There are people who, from the abundance of their heart, a very low self-worth, that speak words. And some of that follows what I've just talked about. But there are people that speak constantly out of that. And sometimes it's such a wannabe attitude. Want to be noticed. And you know, sometimes people act out because of that. And the Lord can come. The Lord said, He prophesied in Isaiah, that every valley would be exalted. When the Lord came into the heart, He exalts the low places and the valleys in people's lives. Where there's things that you've got to prove. You just have to prove something. The Lord can bring rest to your soul. Where you don't have to prove things. Where you don't have to act out and seek for praise all the time. He can bring a rest to your heart. People sometimes act or say things out of prejudice toward other people. And this is a real burden on my heart tonight because I believe the Lord would have a people who are free with one another, who love one another just the same as everyone else. There's no respect of persons with God. And many, many things in the Scripture help us to know that He doesn't want us to have respect of persons. Think about that Scripture in James, the end of the chapter that speaks about the tongue. And He speaks about the wisdom. And we know that that wisdom is what we want in the heart. We want our hearts to be filled with wisdom. And the way that wisdom manifests itself is this. It's first pure. This is James 3:17. Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. The fruit, you cannot have discord and friction and strife in your home and sow the fruit of righteousness at the same time. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. And it's sown in peace of them that make peace. We cannot expect the fruit of righteousness in hearts that are turbulent with strife, with envy, with bitterness, with resentfulness, with prejudice. All of these things inside the heart, they're going to come out. The word abundance in this reading from Matthew, it means overflow. It means what spills over. And you know, we're all just vessels tonight. We're full of something. We're full of something. And when you jar a vessel, when you knock it, when you shake it, what comes out of it? It's what's been in it. And tonight, when we go through the trials of our life, they show what's in the abundance of our heart. If it's resentfulness, those kind of words are going to come out. If it's prejudice, those kind of words are going to come out. They'll shock you sometimes. Have you ever just gone to the Lord and begin to study God's Word and say, Lord, I want you to teach me about these tensions that are between groups of people. I want you to show me what is the truth about this. I began to do that lately, and the Lord began to show me things that I said and did and thought as I was a child. And I didn't think that I was a prejudiced person toward any group of people. But the Lord brought things back to my mind, things that I've thought and things that I was that I heard as a child and things that I said as a child, and just on up through my life, that was very liberating to me. The truth set me free from a lot of things that I had in my heart that I did not know. And I want to take this time right here just to say that if I've ever said something that hurt you in either something, the way that I described, or the way that I laughed, or the way that I told a story, or the way that I made a light of something, or anything like that, and it was demeaning and belittling to you as a person of any color, I don't want to ever do that again. I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me if that has ever come out like that. Because I'm seeing that this is something that is really troubling people, many, many people. There are people who speak out of the abundance of their heart, and there's wrong desires in their hearts. The next chapter here in James, he says, where do wars and fightings come from? And he said they come from desires or lusts that are warring inside of you. And he said, you don't ask right even when you ask and pray, because you ask with wrong desires in your heart. And the things that you're asking for, you're going to use those wrongly. You're going to consume them, he said, upon your lust. There are people who speak tonight out of an abundance of dishonesty. Or people have things hidden in their lives, and you don't realize that it comes out. It can be seen and known. The spirit that motivates, the things that are in your life that you don't even know or don't even realize others have discerned. It comes out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. Proverbs chapter 12. I noticed that the book of Proverbs began with quite a essay, or however you would say it, on wisdom. But in chapter 12, he begins to speak. Now, chapter 10, I'm sorry. He begins to speak about the mouth. There wasn't a lot said about it in the beginning chapters. But he begins to speak about the mouth. And here's the first one that I found, and it's Proverbs 10 and 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. The overflow from a righteous heart is going to be peace. It's going to be good fruit. It's going to be gentleness. It's because the Lord has taken my anger, and he's replaced it with contentment. He's taken my envy, my resentfulness against how I've been dealt, and wish that I had been, and there's some people that are so ruled by envy that it comes out in so many ways. I was envious against this person, and so, well, you remind me of this person, so I've got it out for you. And sometimes I marvel at the complexities of envy in people's lives. It's a rottenness. It's an awful thing. But if you, this evening, if you can have the Lord come and take that envy out of your life, there is going to be an amazing, amazing thing come out of you. Your mouth will become a well of life. I think about other things that he has said. I had a lot of notations here in Proverbs, but I believe I'm just going to go on and just talk just a little bit at some things from the New Testament. Well, what the Lord wants our tongues to do. He said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." If that grace is going to be there, it's going to have to be in the heart. It's going to have to be a well of righteousness in us. Then he also, in Ephesians 4, let's look at that one, 29 I believe it is. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." We can't obey that unless we've had a change in the heart. We can't obey that if our heart, the abundance of our heart, is full of envy toward other people or self-righteousness or prejudice. But if it's full of charity, if it sees all people alike, if it has a genuine care and love for all, as if a heart is full of thoughtfulness about others, sensitivities to their needs, where you consider, what has this person gone through? What are they? Who are they? How do they sense and feel love? How does this child know that I'm going to love him? What can I do? When you take things to the Lord like that and say, "Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding and wisdom to know how to deal with this child." Or, "Lord, give me understanding. How can I win the heart of my spouse? How can I cause their heart to safely trust in me? How can I not injure or hurt them again? Lord, I don't ever want to do it again. How can I prove to them that I really care about them? That I have their good at heart? That I..." My husband has said before, and I believe him, he said, "There is never, ever a time where I will intentionally hurt you." He's made that vow to me, and he has kept true to that vow. That's what we all need to vow to our spouse. "You can trust me that I will never, ever intentionally hurt you. I will never say something that is meant to punish you or to inflict some kind of feeling on you, make you feel less than, belittle you." That's what I'm talking about tonight. He said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." This grace, this building up, which is what the word edifying means. It means to build up. We can't do that unless we have it in the heart. Speaking about having a prideful heart, I thought of this scripture from 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. He said, "Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies." We don't want to be so full of ourselves. Well, it seems like to me that intellectual people sometimes get this superiority. And they feel like that if you're dumb, then, you know, you don't get it. He doesn't really get it. This person doesn't have a clue. That we could say things like that sometimes as young people and teasing each other. But we can get an attitude like that. And if you think someone is dumb, You're going to say words. I have been shocked before at people that I were friends with and knew, thought I knew them. And after a while being with that man or that woman, realize she thinks her husband is just a little dumb. And it comes out. She belittles him in small ways and big ways. And I've seen it the other way too. I've been so shocked and hurt, and I thought, oh my. So this is what she lives with. He thinks she's kind of dumb. And so that's how he deals with her. He treats her like a child. And these are Christian people. And they have a testimony. Lord, have mercy. And it's made me pray, Lord, have mercy on this marriage. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. If we're going to have a heart full of charity, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, do I feel like I'm superior to others? Am I constantly feeling like the other people are dumb or they don't have a clue? These kind of things, it can come out. It can come out in sarcasm. It can come out in explaining things to somebody. The Lord convicted me about this when I was raising my children, that the way that I was trying to teach or explain many times conveyed that I think you're kind of dumb. And I didn't realize it. But it's like they felt that. They told me they felt that. You make me feel like I'm a dummy. You make me feel like I'm just ignorant and don't know anything. I had to go back to the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me not to teach that way. You know, I was a homeschooling mom and I was their teacher. I was shaping their lives. And here, that's what they're getting. That's what they're getting. Well, in Proverbs 31, we know we have that we read many times about the virtuous woman. But it says that in her tongue is the law of kindness. To me, that's speaking again. There is something in her heart. It's the law of kindness that God has written upon her heart. It says she opens her mouth with wisdom. This is Proverbs 31 and verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I'm going to close this out, and I want you to turn with me to the last chapter of Hosea, chapter 14. He says here, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves or the offering of our lips. We want the offering to the Lord tonight to be a pure offering in righteousness. If you were to come this evening and offer to the Lord all of the words that you say from day to day, what kind of offering would it be? If we look back and looked at how we've taught our children, looked at how we've spoken to our spouse this week, in times of tension, in times of stress, financial difficulties, sickness, how have we spoken to one another? How am I treating my in-laws? How am I treating my brothers and my sisters? I'm talking about blood brothers and blood sisters because we have families here. We have some large families here. There are spiritual struggles that siblings can go through where they're not getting along at home. They have things against one another. They can develop hatred toward each other. Children can feel pitted against each other by their parents, and then they turn against each other. Tonight, what's in the well of your heart? What's in the abundance of your heart? If there's things that come out that You know you've hurt people. You know you've divided up homes. You know that your words have caused someone to go out and never come back to church again. You think about it. Sometimes we think, oh, they just got to wanting the world. And we tried to tell them, but have we ever thought about it was the way that I dealt with them that caused them to go and seek for something else? And we need to come back to the Lord. He says, you return. You have fallen by your iniquity and take with you words. I think about what Jesus said. He said, if you come to offer an offering to the Lord and you realize that someone has something against you, what did he say? Let's find that so that we can make sure we're getting that. I believe it's Matthew 5 and 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, a little thing, he has something against, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother. When we come into the services here, we're singing and lifting our hands, and that's an offering. We're coming and we're praying and but if we've been hurting other people with our mouth and injuring precious souls, he says to us, you stop. Don't sing another note. Go to that person and say, I have hurt you with my mouth. I didn't even touch on gossip. That is its own ugly animal. But I believe all of this, we know that's an obvious. We know that's wrong. But tonight, if you've injured anyone with your tongue, if you've spread malicious gossip, if you've slandered others' reputations and hurt people in this way, you need to repent. The Lord is calling for repentance, and take with you words, and you need to go to that person that you have injured and hurt and driven away, and they're not walking with the Lord anymore. You may need to make some phone calls and say, this is what I did to you. I remember now, the Lord brought it back to me, what I said to you. And I know I injured you so badly, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I believe there would be some miracles that would be worked tonight. In our homes, in our families, there would be families that would be brought back together. There would be siblings that could have peace and enjoy being with one another. There would be husbands and wives that would begin to enjoy marriage as God intended for us to enjoy it. Take with you words and say unto the Lord, what did he say for us to say? Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the offering of our lips. Please pray for me.